Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. We have a spooky little tale for you tonight. I hope you're ready to get scared. You know, my mother always told me growing up that a real man has hair on his chest. But this is ridiculous. Growing up here, I was always greeted by friendly people. Everyone said hi and waved to each other. You had your neighbors over on Sunday after church for a barbecue, and everyone had a good time. Of course, being a kid, I was very curious, and I would explore while my parents were visiting with people from church. One afternoon, my friends and I played hide and seek. I had the bright idea to sneak down to the southern part of my neighborhood, which was run down. The farther and farther I got from my house, the darker the road became due to the foliage above blocking out the sun. The paved street turned to dirt road. White picket fence turned into overgrown yards and abandoned houses. I found a hiding spot underneath an old pickup truck with weeds growing through the bed and cab. I was invisible to the naked eye. About 10 minutes passed, and I could barely make out the conversations and laughter several houses down at the barbecue, as well as the screaming and commotion whenever one of my friends was found. Behind me, I heard a stick break, but I didn't dare look. It was probably my friend Clay trying to find me. Suddenly, two denim-clawed legs appeared in front of my face, barefoot but far too hairy to be any one of my friends. I kept quiet. As the knees bent, I was met with an older man with two different colored eyes. "What in the Sam hell are you doing down there, boy?" "I'm hiding from my friends," I managed to reply. I crawled out from under the truck and realized I'd never even seen this man ever before. I was taught at a young age to have exceptional manners and introduced myself. The old man asked if I wanted to come back to his house, enticing me with his recipe of homemade cornbread. Again, I retained my manners and kindly refused. Instead of being persistent, the old man nodded and told me to go play with my friends. By this time, Clay saw me and started to head over. I walked over towards him while motioning the timeout signal. "Why ain't you hiding?" he exclaimed. I told Clay how I was hiding until someone had found me, and I pointed back, but the man was gone, nowhere to be found. As Clay was pestering me, I claimed I stopped the game because I couldn't find a good hiding spot. I was staring at the old truck where I was hiding. The grass and weeds were much too thick that even standing here, glaring at where I had been, I would have never been able to see myself. How did that man even manage to see me? I finally convinced Clay that what had happened was true, but Ryan and Jacob, or even Bew, didn't seem to believe me, or really care too much. Clay and I saw the man again, but this time, he was walking down the dirt road on the south side of the neighborhood, and walked into one of the houses we had always assumed was vacant. We had to investigate. The big cottonwood outside the house had squirrel bones stuck to the trunk, as well as a reflective light that you would find on a bicycle nailed to either side. The man's house had a ripped screen door, as well as two big moths that crawled the wall by the cracked window. "I can't believe he lives here," Clay whispered. "Where did he come from anyways?" I asked. We turned around facing the dirt road. It was no outlet road, and at the end there was a fence that read, "No trespassing." Of course, two kids, we trespassed. As we climbed over the fence, a chill ran down my spine. Dread filled my ever being, but I didn't want to seem like I was a wuss to Clay, so I manned up and kept my composure. Through the trees and thickets, we found a tattered old house that looked like it had been hit by a tornado a few years back. Next to it, an old shed with a broken-out window. On the ground around it looked like blood. Was it paint? Blood? From an animal? Back farther was a railroad track, and past that, the other side of town. So we decided to go back to Clay's house. I could tell Clay also wanted to leave as much as I did. Fall swept in, bringing in with the sweet aroma of dead leaves and crisp morning air. It was still warm, but much more bearable than the summer. School had started, so playing with my neighborhood friends became something of a rarity, only hanging out on the weekends, or if we finished our homework at night. We always enjoyed catching lightning bugs or playing in the treehouse at night. But this particular fall, our parents would usually limit how often we were allowed at each other's houses. The Southern Plains area of the U.S. is notorious for its human trafficking, but the autumn of 2004 was something else entirely. It all started when a kid from the west side went missing. The police simply thought the kid got lost, but when they started their investigation, the trail went cold. The next week, a Baptist church down a couple blocks away from our road was having a fundraiser. Two children from there also went missing. Was there some sort of connection? At night, I could swear I heard some sort of howling, followed by all the dogs in my neighborhood barking. My father dismissed it, telling me I was hearing coyotes and that there was no wolves in Kansas. I knew what coyotes sounded like. We often encountered them while hunting. Parents do their best to keep their children from finding out how terrible the world can be. Their attempt was futile on the night of October 23rd. I was playing at Clay's house, along with my friend Ryan and Bew. He had quite the collection of toys, both new and hand-me-downs from his older brother. At around 9 p.m., Clay's parents get a call, and we hear footsteps coming towards the top of the stairs. Which one of the parents wants us home? Who's the first to go? "Jacob, your father wants you to come home now," proclaimed Clay's mom. We all froze and exchanged glances, making sure we didn't miss Jacob, as if he had been under our noses the entire time.
What?
Hollered Clay. "Apparently, he has a test tomorrow morning," answered Clay's dad. My stomach sank. Us four boys met Clay's mom at the stairs. "Jacob never came over. Jacob isn't here," we all muttered. Clay's mom gave us a stern look of disapproval, thinking we were pranking her, before her face gave away this horrific grimace. She picked up the phone back off the hook, dialing back Jacob's parents. Through the phone, down the stairs, I could still hear the petrified voice of Jacob's mom. Police asked us questions, if Jacob had told us about any people he recently met, the last time any of us had spoke to him, etc. They asked us if we had seen anything strange recently, to which we all had seen that strange man, so we told the investigators about him. Well, even if we knew where he lived, we didn't know if he was the one behind this. Clay and I told the officer about the house he was living in. "Son," the officer was looking at Clay. "No one's lived in that house for years. It's abandoned." The investigator told our parents that keep an eye out for that man who matched our description. The cops didn't seem to genuinely think about it, though. So it's a good thing Clay and I didn't mention anything like the creepy shed. Plus, we weren't supposed to go back there in the first place. Halloween. A time of pretend, spookiness, and celebrating with candy was instead filled with absolute terrified families and mourning parents. Across the town, more kids had never returned with sacks full of candy. The investigation was stepped up, and the police had suspects. But one after the other, they were all cleared. Hunting season had taken my mind off the recent tragedy. It was hard to tell, but my father was quite uneasy about this whole ordeal, It was almost like he was taking me out into the wilderness to keep me safe. We'd go hunting quite a bit, me and him. One night, my father and I were heading back home. In the rearview mirror, I saw a beautiful sunset, the pond mirroring it, and the branches blowing in the stiff breeze. Maybe this whole thing will just pass overnight, I thought, still missing Jacob. When I got home, I saw the police lights flickering and the cops outside of Clay's house.
No!
I cried out loud. My father and mother embraced me as Clay's parents embraced each other, empty inside. It's been 15 years since that fall, and this all still remains a mystery.